This morning we are going to look at a subject called the resurrection of the dead. It's a subject that we don't normally look at, but it's something that we should consider at all times. And why? Well, Jesus Christ came down here on earth. He took the form of a man, and yet he offered up his body, his blood, on the cross. So he died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. So he rose again. Subject that is covered in both the Old and the New Testament. So this morning I'd like to, first of all, look at some definitions from basically some Greek scholars, and also look at the Bible. Some practical definitions from Scripture that we have. I'd also like to share with you some illustrations from the Scriptures or some examples of what the resurrection is. And also I'd like to expound upon that the resurrection is a clear concept. Back in the early days, people understood what resurrection was. I also want to share with you that the element that resurrection is of the dead is an elementary fact of our faith. It forms the foundation of our faith, and also it's an important facet of our life with Christ. So that's what I'd like to cover this morning and share with you my studies on this particular subject. I brought this down from a larger subject study. We could spend 2 or 3 days on this particular topic, but I will concise this to this morning's lesson. When you look at people who are scholars in the field of language, they study the language out and try to understand what the language says. I'm not a scholar on language. However, I will go to those people who do study and do share with us their interpretation of language. In my studies of the Bible, I've been looking at the Greek. I don't know Greek. I don't understand Greek. I can't speak it. But yet, I'll look at a word and follow its origin, follow its meaning, so that I can dig deeper into the Scriptures. So the Greek scholars that I'm going to refer to, first of all, Strong's Concordance, and also Thayer's Greek and English Lexicon of the New Testament, along with Bynes, that I synthesize these particular definitions of word. First word I'd like to look at is resurrection. The Greek word of resurrection is antithesis, meaning to cause to stand. So when someone rises, they stand up. Another definition that they had researched was rise. Agoro, which means to arouse from sleep, awake, stand upright, and erect. Third definition is someone is dead. Thankikos or nerkeros, which means lifeless or breathless. We all understand that. When we cease to exist, we're dead. In fact, each and every one of us will undergo that process of death. When you look at the Bible definitions, we see there's a practical definition from Scripture which will show us what the meaning of resurrection is. Death occurs when the spirit leaves the body. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 17 through 19, when she was in severe labor, the midwife said to her, and this is Rachel, "Do not fear, for now you have another son." And it came about as a soul was departing, for she was dead, for she died, that she named him Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephraim, that is Bethlehem. So death occurs when the spirit leaves the body. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So when we die, our spirit will no longer dwell in our bodies here on earth. James chapter 2 and verse 26, we read, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." So when the spirit leaves the body is basically dead. So what happens from there? What happens about resurrection? We see that resurrection occurs when the spirit re-enters the body. Luke chapter 8, verses 53 to 55, we read, "And they began laughing at him," at Jesus, "knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat." So the spirit of this child came back to the body, and she was resurrected. We see in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, "Brethren, I may constantly say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we all are witnesses." So in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he reminded those listening that the great King David, their patriarch, he died and was put in a tomb. But Jesus the Christ, who came down here on earth to pay the ultimate price that mankind has for sins, was his death on the cross. And God didn't abandon him. He raised him up from the dead. Also, we see that resurrection occurs when the body is revitalized. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and will come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." All mankind will be judged, and those who strive to live a godly life, a life that is faithful to the best of their ability, will receive a resurrection of life. But those who continue to dwell in sin, theirs will be a resurrection to the judgment, and we all know what will happen to them. They'll be lost eternally. In the Bible, there are a number of examples that we could go to see what resurrection is. First one I've chosen is the when Elijah resurrected the son of a widow. And that particular example, and I'm not going to read all of it, is in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. But I am going to focus on one verse, verse 22, in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it says, "The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he was revived." So in the Old Testament times, there is resurrection that some of the people have seen with their own eyes. Also, we see that Elijah, who raised the son of a Shunammite woman. We find this particular example in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. I'd like to draw your attention on verse 35. "And he returned and walked in the house once back and forth, and went up and stretched himself on him, and the lad sneezed seven times, and the lad opened up his eyes." Another example in the scriptures we have is found in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 22. And this particular example is when a dead man touched the bones of Elijah in his grave. In verse 21 we see, "And they were burying a man. Behold, they saw a marauding band, and they cast the man into the grave of Elijah. And when the man touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet." So he touched the bones of a prophet, and he was resurrected. In the New Testament, we see that the daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead by Christ. We see in Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, "When Jesus came into the official's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder. And he said, 'Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep.' And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up." So in the New Testament times, we see that there was a resurrection. And we see that a number of believers who already had passed on, who died, were raised at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 53, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many." So in the first century, there was a mass resurrection when Jesus died. We also see that the son of the widow, Nahum, was raised from the dead by Jesus. in Luke chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say you arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. So Jesus performed this miracle. He raised this individual from the dead. We also see, and a lot of us understand and know this story about Lazarus, who was the brother of Mary and Martha, who was raised from the dead. This is found in the 11th chapter of John, but I'd like to focus on verse 44. The man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." He raised Lazarus from his dead. And finally, there's one other one I'd like to share with you is a widow named Dorcas was raised from the dead through the ministry of Peter. We find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 40 to 41. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened up her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up and called the saints and widows. He presented her alive. So the resurrection is not a new concept. It's been around back in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. It's a clear concept. It's a concept that the enemies of Jesus understood when the body was raised from the grave. They were really concerned about the way the movement of this new sect of the Jews was going, because they said that Jesus was going to rise and be resurrected. And his enemies were fearful because, well, if that's the case, maybe someone's going to steal the body. And then people are going to believe in this movement. We see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." So they were afraid that the disciples were going to come and take Jesus' body. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go make it secure as you know." And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. But yet we all know what happened on the third day. When people came to visit the tomb, the stone was rolled away. They looked inside, the body wasn't there. The disciples didn't do it. Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, the Pharisees, they understood and believed in the resurrection. We see in Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 9. But perceiving that one group was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council, Brethren, I am a Pharisee and a son of Pharisees. I am trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead. As he said this, there occurred a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledged them all. And there occurred a great uproar, and some of the scribes of the Pharisaic party stood up and began to argue heatedly, saying, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." So the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And we know that in the scriptures that some of the inspired writers use concept of the resurrection to show what other concepts are, such as baptism. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. "Well, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life." So Paul is teaching about baptism and how it corresponds to the resurrection. We see in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive again with him and have forgiven us all our transgressions." So when we are buried in baptism, we come up out of baptism a new creature. Our faith starts at that particular time and continues throughout our life until we succumb to death. And at that particular time, death, we are going to be judged. Our deeds, no matter what they are, will be judged. And hopefully we strive to live a godly life throughout our lives so that we can be approved of God. The resurrection of the dead is an essential component of our faith. It is the first principles of the gospel. We read in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith towards God, of instructions of washings and laying on hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." The resurrection of the dead, it forms the foundation of our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain." Our faith is built upon this resurrection. We believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And we accept that as Christians. Also, we see that the resurrection of the dead forms the foundation of our faith. It is an important facet of our life with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 19, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of men most to be pitied." We see that in the resurrection contains the hope. The resurrection of Christ contains the hope of our own resurrection. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to live a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So it's our hope. And that hope we have is eternal life with God. The resurrection of the dead also embodies the promise of eternal life. Acts chapter 13, verses 32 to 33. "And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled his promise to our children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" So the resurrection of Jesus is the promise that God had made to Abraham years and years ago for salvation of his soul and the souls of many to follow, those who are of Abraham's faith, those who are Christians. So, looking at it, we define what the terms resurrection, to rise and dead from the Greek scholars. We also saw that there were three practical definitions from scriptures: the death occurs when the spirit leaves the body, also that resurrection occurs when the spirit re-enters the body, and also that resurrection occurs when the body is revitalized. We looked at eight illustrations we found in the Bible, and also that we had looked at three different concepts that the resurrection is a clear concept. The enemies of Jesus were concerned about someone who was going to steal his body from the grave, so they understood what the resurrection was. Also, the Pharisees, they understood and believed in the resurrection. And we also see that the inspired writers of the New Testament use resurrection as a tool to bring on the concepts to us. We explored that the resurrection of the dead is an elementary fact of our faith. It forms the foundation of our faith, our relationship with God through faith in Jesus. We also see that Christians live by faith. The resurrection of the dead is an important facet of our life with Christ. The resurrection of Christ contains the hope of our own resurrection. Also, the resurrection of Christ embodies the promise of eternal life. Before we conclude, I'd like to share with you a diagram that I put together. And in this particular diagram, we see that mankind and sin equals a spiritual separation from God. We find that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But you are alive in God, in Christ Jesus, by your faith in your baptism. All men, those who are sinful, and those who are living a faithful life, being justified, will eventually go to the grave. We all will not pass that particular step. We all will die. And when you are raised from the grave, you are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Those who are faithful, those who live a godly life, those who do the best they can in their walk with Christ, will receive eternal life. Those who remain in their sinful ways, those who continue and are unjust in their dealings, they may reap the rewards of the earth here, men may praise them, but yet their judgment, theirs will be eternal damnation. Where do you want to stand today if you're not a Christian? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead? We'd like you to make that confession before us. We're here to assist you in any way. And also, if you're a child of God, that's straight away. We encourage you to come forward so that you can get your life back right with God as we stand and sing this song